Wade Gerster back with you on the Sports Ticket. Time for K-State In Focus, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Today, our guest to talk K-State football is Travis Tannehill, former tight end, Big 12 champion with Kansas State University. And Travis, I would imagine you're pretty excited about this 3-0 start for the Wildcats.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, looking at your non-con schedule, you know, there's some tough games in there. So, to be able to come out 3-0, especially with what happened to Skyler, I think everyone's pretty fortunate and ready to head into Big 12 play.
What's the most impressive thing in the first three games? What stood out to you?
I mean, it's got to be the defense. I mean, the defense has just been, you know, locked down, playing really well, stopping the run, secondary's playing well. So the defense has been, you know, probably my biggest surprise just because there's a lot of new faces out there. So that coaching staff did a nice job of getting some young guys in there, bringing in some transfers. And, you know, there's still the veterans. There's a few veterans out there that were making plays last year, but that defense really has, you know, just been exceptional so far.
Are you surprised by how quickly they fixed this? Because the defense was a major problem last year.
I mean, yeah, and between you and me, I'm just hoping it holds. So, sure. You know, we've played some good offenses, but, you know, Oklahoma State can throw the ball around. OU can always put up some points, so. You know, I'm confident and excited and happy so far at the play, but it doesn't mean it's going to hold the rest of the season. So they got to keep getting better, keep playing well, and keep improving because it only gets harder from here.
Of course, when you play, there is certainly emphasis on the running game, whether it be the quarterback or running backs, establishing yourself in the trenches. And certainly K-State so far seems to have been the more physical team in all three of their wins, including this past Saturday.
Yeah, that O-line's done a nice job for them. You know, Cooper Beebe's done a nice job. Noah Johnson, Josh Revis, all those guys have kind of stepped up, especially Josh Revis. He was a player I was able to watch broadcasting some high school games back when he was at Hutchinson. And, you know, in the high school level, he was just a man among boys. He struggled a little bit when he first got to K-State, didn't quite make the transition maybe as quickly as I thought he should or some other people thought he should. But he's made it now. So, I mean, he's coming into his own, becoming an all-conference type player. He's got the physical tools. It was just a matter of getting the physicality there and getting the playbook down. So he's probably been my biggest surprise on the offensive line so far. And then obviously, you know, Deuce Vaughn, he's the stud we all knew he was last year, continues to impress. And then Irvine, obviously, as well, and the second running back, he's been a nice 1-2 punch. Wasn't necessarily expecting that, but he's done some nice things in the run game so far, and it's really nice to have him in our back pocket.
Of course, you play tight end at Kansas State, so I'm sure you pay a little bit more attention to the tight end position. How would you grade out the tight end so far this year when you've watched K-State play?
Oh, I'm just disappointed that Coach never, you know, I can never pronounce his name, the Okoboji, the number zero, whatever his last name is that none of us can pronounce.
Sure.
I don't even attempt to, so. You know, he got to run a corner post, a double move, and I'm like, man, Coach never drew that play up for me in the playbook. So on that touchdown last week to open up the first drive, so I was like, man, that's not very fair. Although I had Tyler Lockett lining up on the other side of the field for me, so if I'm Coach, I'm drawing up a double move for Tyler Lockett as well. So, but yeah, no, tight end play's been great. Nick Linders is doing a nice job in the run game. So yeah, I mean, they're playing a lot of guys, and it's kind of been fun to watch that. Position progress. If I'm a young high school kid and I'm a tight end or a fullback, I mean, Kansas State's definitely on the list of one of the schools I want to look at just because they do play so many. They do find a way to get them involved in the pass game, and it's a fun place to be a tight end.
Travis Tannehill, former K-State tight end, member of the 2012 Big 12 champion K-State Wildcats, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Our focus on K-State athletics brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. So going forward, I mean, it's a nice start, but K-State had a nice start last year, as we remember, and then things kind of fell apart. Of course, part of that was Skylar Thompson being hurt. Also, part of that was COVID-19 wrecked the season. Do you think this team is just better suited and better prepared to deal with a loss of Skylar Thompson? Because last week they played two quarterbacks, rotated them a little bit. I thought that was a great move in regards to taking the pressure off of Will Howard.
Yeah, I mean, looking forward, I mean, I'm not a big fan of playing two quarterbacks. I think, obviously, it worked last week, so I'm going to probably eat my words if we do that the rest of the season and have success. But I like one guy, go with it. You know, I heard Coach Kleiman say in the presser that, you know, Lewis earn those reps during practice. And I'm like, well, like, everyone works hard. Like, you play the best player. So it's like, just because you work hard doesn't mean you get those reps. So that's kind of how I read it. It was like, oh, he's worked hard enough. He deserves to be in there. And it's like, well, you know, so is the fifth string, you know, walk-on freshman kicker. And so I like going with one guy, let Will Howard get as many reps as possible, as many live under fire reps as possible, if he's the guy you're going to go with. You know, obviously, if he struggles, then you know, we can pull him and we can do things. But he wasn't struggling at that point. That's what was weird to me. So, so you know, we'll see how the season shakes out from the quarterback position. Hopefully, Skyler's back here in a few weeks. You know, we're not hearing much other than what Coach Kleiman's telling us, which is kind of week to week now. So, you know, hopefully Skyler comes back. If not, I think Will's more than capable of leading us down the field to some few games. And if he struggles, we've got a good backup in Lewis to come in. You know, give us a chance to win a ball game.
When you look at the Big 12 currently, you know, Oklahoma isn't off to a great start. They've won all their games, but they struggle with Nebraska. They nearly blew the game against Tulane. Many people think Oklahoma is the team to beat, and why wouldn't they be? They've owned the Big 12 here for quite some time, but K-State has beat Oklahoma the last two times they played. They'll play again coming up next Saturday at Bill Snyder Family Stadium in Manhattan, and I'm not overlooking Oklahoma State, a team that's undefeated, although not very impressive either, that K-State goes on the road and plays in Stillwater coming up Saturday night. When you look at the Big 12, I mean, you know, K-State's off to a nice start. There's some teams that have, you know, won their first three games, but nobody to me seems to be super impressive. In fact, I would argue that K-State's resume might be the best of anybody so far.
I mean, yeah, you look at the Big 12, honestly, year in and year out. I mean, it's OU at the top, KU at the bottom, and the rest of the eight are, you know, kind of eating each other's lunch in the middle. So, but yeah, and, you know, when you put it that way, it's like, hey, you take, you know, you win the game you're supposed to win, and then you find a way to beat OU. You find yourself at the top of the list, which is what K-State did last year with the big win over OU. They were just unable to, you know, take care of business down the stretch and win some of those 50-50 ball games. So, but yeah, no, across the board, like you said, I do think this Oklahoma State team will come ready to play. I know, you know, non-conference is just weird. I mean, once conference play comes, you're playing teams that you already know. You know, those coaching staffs can just pull out the binder from last year and say, all right, what are they doing the same? What are they doing differently? You're much more prepared for these conference games. You know, if you got a returning quarterback, they're able to dig into that memory bank and say, all right, they were doing this last year, this worked, this is how they're going to play this. So the preparation's much easier, it's much quicker. And so for some of these veteran teams, you know, that's why they can do so well in conference play, just because they've got the playbook, they've got the formulas already there. They just got to go out and execute. And if you're the better team, that's usually what happens. So we'll see. You know, OU obviously is the team to beat. Everyone else, I think there's a lot of 50-50 ball games where, you know, you look at my playing days, 2012. We had six or seven games decided by 7 points or less, and all those fell our way. So if we lose three or four of those, we're not a 10-win ball team. We're a 7-win ball team, which isn't that special. So, we'll see how it plays out. I'm excited to watch it play. It should be fun.
Yeah, it should be. When you look at the perspective of K-State football, and I'm really interested in your viewpoint on this, because you are a former K-State football player, member of Big 12 championship team back in 2012, a team that started the year 10-0, ranked number one in the country. And maybe you don't believe this as much as others, but certainly this seems to be a common consensus among many people that K-State is disrespected, whether it be, I don't know about regionally, but certainly nationally. When it comes to K-State playing anybody, for that matter, and especially out of conference, a bigger team, and then you beat Oklahoma twice back-to-back years, and there's still this, well, you know, Oklahoma didn't play well. Did you use that as bulletin board material back in 2012 or whenever it might have been when you played in regards to it? It seems like K-State always has to play with a chip on its shoulder. They don't have all the 4 or 5-star athletes in these recruiting services, which I think sometimes is a little bit skewed, because if Alabama looks at the same – if K-State looks at a kid, they're saying a 3-star, and if Alabama suddenly gets interested, suddenly that kid goes immediately to a 4 or 5-star recruit. But what about that perspective of K-State always having to play the chip on their shoulder card?
I mean, yeah, it's definitely there and it's definitely real. I mean, I don't know, in my opinion, it's probably justified and pretty warranted. I mean, Kansas State, right now we're I think we're at 24th. So, you know, year in and year out, we're a 25 to 35 to, you know, 50 top 50 team in the country, and if you want to be in that top, you know, top 15, top 10 conversation, you got to go out there and prove it. You know, last year was a year that, you know, Kansas State didn't play very well, and they didn't win a lot of ball games. And I know there was the asterisks there with COVID and Skyler, but at the end of the day, you know, you lost. So, yeah, that chip's there. I think right now it's warranted just because there are still a lot of question marks. You know, Coach Klieman did really well at the FCS level. Now that he's up at the FBS level, then, you know, he's still got some stuff to prove at this level. Losing Skyler, obviously, I think if Skyler was healthy, people would be talking about us a lot more. No. I think right now they're like, yeah, they're 3-0, but their quarterback's hurt, and we don't know when he's going to come back, and they're playing with a freshman who played very poorly last year in Will Howard. So I think right now on paper, there's just not too much to get excited about unless you're within the Kansas State community like we are. But, you know, I think if Will Howard plays well, that defense is playing well enough to win a lot of ball games. So, yeah, there's still a lot to prove, though. And, you know, I think it's warranted right now, though.
I will say this. If they go to Stillwater and win this weekend, and then they beat Oklahoma the following Saturday, yeah, they'll be top 15 team, and they'll be getting a lot of people's attention. But as you said, you got to go out there and earn it. What are your thoughts on conference realignment? Right now, of course, Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC. The Big 12 has added four schools. Don't know exactly when they'll join officially in regards to when they'll start play. What is your take on all of this?
Oh, I like it pretty good now. About 2 months ago, I hated it.
Right.
You know, I like where we ended up. So with adding the four new teams coming to the Big 12, you know, OU and Texas, I mean, unfortunately, in a capitalistic society like we are, money talks, and wins and losses don't mean as much anymore as they used to. And, you know, you can't really blame OU and Texas for going getting the bigger payday. That helps out their programs. But disappointing. I'd love to have them stay around, but I don't, you know, I can't blame them. If I was the AD, I'd probably do the same thing if I were in their shoes and given that opportunity, just because money is real and money talks. But, yeah, getting, you know, then we were able to go out and get some really good programs. I think, you know, bringing in UCF, Cincinnati, BYU, I mean, overall, the conference got harder. So, you know, we're going to lose, you know, OU, who's been the top team for a long time in the conference. We're going to lose Texas, which has been kind of in the middle of the pack for a very long time. So losing them, obviously, the revenue is going to hurt. But from a wins and loss standpoint, that's not huge. But then bringing in, you know, all four of those teams that we're bringing in are better than Texas. So it'll be exciting to see. It'll raise the level of play. And I'm excited to go to Provo, Utah. I'm excited to go to Orlando, Florida. I'm excited to go to some fun places because, no offense to TCU and Dallas, but that's about the most fun place we have to go right now for our non-conference game. Now that Austin is out of the equation. So we're going to go to Utah, have some fun, go to Florida and have some fun. And Houston's a great city, too, to go visit.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, time for off-the-wall question, Travis. And this one, I want you to provide a little inside scoop for us when you played. Can you share a funny story that's clean when you played ball that you recall? Like, what's something right off the bat you remember you just either laughed really hard, whether it was a joke, a prank, a story, maybe something a coach said, maybe a prank, maybe an impersonation of Bill Snyder or impersonation of one of your coaches? Is there something that stands out to you? Because I know that's a brotherhood when you guys play together. You work collectively as a team for a common goal.
Yeah, there a few jump out, and they're not appropriate. So one of my favorite stories is, you know, Tyler Lockett, who's gone on to do exceptional things in the NFL. I think we all knew he was going to be an NFL caliber player. I don't know if we thought, you know, he's getting into the Hall of Fame conversation if he keeps up what he's doing. So, you know, Tyler Lockett shows up and, you know, 18-year-old kid, freshman, got, you know, doesn't weigh 150 pounds, I don't think. Or 180 pounds, whatever he was. So, real skinny guy. And he, you know, first day of practice, and he is just going nonstop, you know, just full speed, every single rep. And we're about like 45 minutes into practice, and I think it was Chris Harper. I don't know exactly, I can't remember exactly who the wide receiver was, but they're just like, "Lock it. Chill out, man. This is a Coach Snyder practice. Like, this is a long practice, and this is a long season. You're not going to make it." He's like, you're going to die. You got to pace yourself a little bit. Because this is Coach Snyder. He's just going to keep running us until we die. And then, lo and behold, I mean, Tyler Lockett never slowed down. So he just kept on running full speed every single rep for 5 years or 4 years he was at K-State. he's still doing it in the NFL. So I think that was the funniest story. Most of us had to kind of pace ourselves because we just couldn't keep up. But Tyler Lockett, he's got the motor that he kept that intensity and kept those full speed reps. Every single rep that I saw him at Kansas State, and I'm sure he's doing it with the Seahawks now.
Yeah, it's worked out pretty well for him. Do you stay in touch with some of your teammates on a somewhat regular basis?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Especially, the ones that are still in Manhattan with us, we get to see the clients quite a bit often. Nick Stringer was an offensive lineman under Prince era. Me and him crossed over 1 year. We stay in touch with a lot of guys. Brayden Wilson was our fullback when we were there. I get to stay in touch with him. So we had a big family, call it the family reunion game last week at the home opener against Southern Illinois, which was always great. There's always 100 guys back. You see everyone. So it's a lot of fun staying in touch with everyone.
Brayden Wilson just from our backyard, Smith Center, Kansas. I love that. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. How can people follow you on social media and follow and make fun of you or follow you, whatever you want to say about K-State athletics or whatever you want to put out there?
Yeah, perfect. So Twitter's probably the best. I think it's Travis Tannehill 80, or just search Travis Tannehill. You'll find me. So relatively active on Twitter during the football season. Don't put much I try to keep it to sports. Whenever I get into politics, I get in trouble. So people always get mad at me. Keep it to sports. That's about all we talk about.
Fantastic. Hey, Travis, appreciate the time as always, man.
Yep, thanks, Quinn.
All right, take care. That's Travis Tannehill. He is our guest today, and our focus on KC Athletics brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit.